With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Blessed greetings and love, Jalonzo. Welcome to Bob Radio. How you doing?
Yeah, man, I'm good, you know? So far, so good.
That's good. So Jalonzo is a musician, guitar player, producer, wears many hats in the reggae world, but you guys may know him most from the band called Dubtonic Crew. And so how long, when did Dubtonic Crew start, and when did you get involved in music, and how did you get involved in music first before you get into Dubtonic? How did you, your family's members, an uncle, or in school you learned a bit instrument, what was going on there?
Well, I mean, my father, he used to love the sound system.
Okay.
You know, so he always have the radio on, and, you know, him and him Bridge and them, when him Bridge, his friends come to see him, mm-hmm. they would turn the radio up and they would, you know, drink and smoke. And, you know, so there's always music playing, but there was no musician per se.
Okay.
Nobody played any instrument.
Right.
I think I'm the first and maybe the only. But I think I'm the first musician in the family to pick up an instrument and start playing.
Okay.
You know?
That's
and
cool.
How I started doing that, I mean, I always loved instruments. Mm-hmm. I always loved music. And in Jamaica at the time, the easiest access to music and playing an instrument mm-hmm. is the church.
Okay.
It's open, you know, and you can sit around the drum and you can play, you know. It's easy. So that's why a lot of Jamaican musicians come from the church too.
Right. True.
Yeah, so I was attracted to the music in the church.
Okay.
Not the church per se, because, you know.
Okay.
But, and then we grew up poor, so I couldn't afford any. My parents and my guardian, they couldn't afford any to buy any instrument or something. My grandmother would buy a little melodica or something like that for my birthday once.
Okay.
And I kind of miss around that. But by the time I was like 12, 13, I was banging on old pots and pots in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
In old Britain. You know, until I put one more pot beside that pot, put another pan beside it, put another pan, get a pot cover and make it and turn it into a drum set, you know.
We're going to keep on going, but of course, you know, Kirk Bennett, the drummer, he told them a very similar story that he went to the bakery and took a bunch of their pans and made a drum kit out of that bakery pan.
that's how some of us have to do it, because we weren't fortunate enough where parents could buy us a Chris drum set or something like that.
Right,
you know?
right.
So, but you know what? That old pan, I made a drum set out of old buckets and pots and pans and stuff like that.
Right.
And I end up entering Tasty's talent contest when I was like 13, 14 year old.
Okay.
You know, and I came third place, and I ended up on the newspaper. My family reading the newspaper, see me in there, and they listen to radio and hear me interview. Yeah, and I was on the TV.
Yeah.
You know, I win some money too. So, you know, the little old buckets and old time took me a little distance. I became like the little community star.
I started
getting hired at birthday parties and stage shows and so on.
Wow. Excellent. I never knew that. We've known each other quite a long time, but I never knew that.
Yeah, man. If you probably can, if you talk to Anthony B, you probably can ask him to. Okay. In all Britain, okay. I was playing the old buckets and pans on stage, and the sound system is playing the beat, you know, and what the DJ kind of mess up on the mix one time, and one of the artists say, hey, turn off the sound, and asked me to play. And
what? Mad, crazy fun. That is quite a start into that. So it was obviously you got into reggae music at some point, or because you were living in Jamaica, or you weren't into church music, or you wanted to play reggae music.
Since I was 14 years old. You know, after all of that, you know, people start seeing me and hearing about me. Uh-huh. So this guy, he had a studio in the community, a good distance, about a mile away from me.
Okay.
Two miles walking.
Okay.
Distance. And he told me I have access to practice on a real drum set, and that's how I get into the studio and production, you know, producing, composing and all of that. That's where it all started at.
Okay.
Records, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's where it starts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Cool.
14, 15-year-old people were paying me to make beats and stuff like that. So.
That's great. That is super good stuff. And then, so you, you're talking about drums, but I've seen you play drums, but I know you more as a guitar player. So you picked up a guitar soon after? Or?
Yeah, right as soon as I get into the studio. I got 14-year-old already. There was keyboards, guitars, mixing board, everything there. And I was just all over the place. Couldn't make up my mind.
Okay, kid in the candy store. Yeah, fun.
Yeah, it's like, wow, keyboard, bang, 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 guitar, ding, 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 you know, everything. Mixing board, I just took advantage of the situation.
Okay.
100%, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't waste no time.
No time at all. Okay, very cool. So you settled on guitar, or you settled on a bunch of different instruments?
Well, I don't want to say clean. I just learn where I can. I learn enough where I can create a beat, you know, and make it sound good enough. I still would love to be able to play better, you know,
okay.
Both drums, guitar, whatever. But I play the bass, drums, guitar. I play a little bit of keyboards too.
Okay.
You know, but it's just music for me, you know.
Right. Okay, yeah. So you that's how this started, and you got into bands, and you got into the studio, and then so when did you start playing collectively with a group?
Well, I've been playing in groups from those time, you know, from 15 years old. I used to play from one group to the other.
Okay.
Back and forth. I travel all over the island.
Okay.
Playing in different bands and different groups.
Okay.
In and out, you know, until, you know.
And then then you really came on, I mean, people got to know you, I think, through Dubtonic Crew. When doing a bunch of work with Max Romeo, and then you toured the States, and you guys won World Band of the Year, Battle of the Bands World Competition. You guys won that in 2014 or something.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah.
So how did Dubtonic Crew form? How did you guys get together and decide, hey, you know what, let's take this on the road? Or someone said, hey, I need a backing band, and that was the crew you had, and you gave it a name, or what happened?
Well, let's take it from the beginning.
Okay. All right. We got time.
Yeah. So I got a call, Hyjaman Levi. You know Hyjaman Levi?
Yeah, yeah.
So a friend of mine called me and said, Hyjaman Levi would need a guitarist for a studio session, and that's where I met Juba and Stone.
Okay.
And we immediately connected right there. We were like, you play for Juman, you know? And Hyjaman Levi looked at me and said, I'm taking you on tour with me.
Wow.
And Juman Stone, coincidentally, was playing drums for him on the same tour.
Okay, wow.
So we ended up playing for Mighty Diamonds and Algernon Levi on that tour in 2006.
Okay.
It was a 2-month tour in Europe.
Okay.
Right. And we developed a little feel and a sound, and you know, Juba and Stone, they've been touring long before me. That was my first tour.
Okay.
And so they were like, "Hey, it's you, we like, we love the vibe, you know." And mm-hmm. And they had another tour with Max Romeo.
Okay.
Like the following month, and they're like, "Yeah, we want you to come play guitar with us." With Max Romeo, I'm like, "Well, sure, you know."
Okay.
So from that, we kind of just, you know, we just sell, you know, vibe together, and we decided to. I mean, at the time, I was doing my solo thing, Jalanzo.
Okay.
You know, and Juba and Stone was doing their duo thing.
Right.
They were recording projects with different artists and whatever.
Yeah.
Too, you know.
Right.
And so we started recording together, and we decided to take that project on the road, the collaboration of Dr. Niku, Jalanzo, and Kamau.
Okay.
You know. So we get a keyboardist and we just hit the road to, just like that. And while we're on the road, we decide to just call the whole thing Dr. Niku.
Okay.
And just form a band, form a group, and just record our songs together and just.
Okay, so we were talking earlier, and I was speaking to Juba last night, and he told me that when you guys were in tour in Europe, that you guys used to go instead of going back to the hotel, you would go to check out the dub camps and the dub arenas at these European venues, and that that had a lot of influence on Dubtonic Crew.
Yeah, for real.
So
it's a different vibe from, you know, what we were doing on stage, but, you know,
right.
In the box, you know, we're just playing what's on the record, and, you know, so when we go out and we see, oh, there's a freedom music, there's this, you can just be yourself and just be free.
Yeah.
And it has a big impact on us and a big influence.
Very nice. And now, that's like a huge movement right now that that Europe has, that it hasn't really touched, I don't think, very heavily in the United States or Jamaica, or, you know, even beyond that, you know, even Canada. I don't live in Canada, but I don't keep track of it. But that type of music, that freedom, dub style music, sound system music, is a big movement. And what's your opinion on the fullness of the next movement of dub and stuff?
Yeah, man, dub is the future. Dub is back.
Okay.
And it's here to stay. I'm so glad that I am able to be a part of it. We have been like the beacon towards that. In Jamaica, there were no live music. There was no live music playing much, you know. Yeah, you have bands and stuff, but there were no live music much. Right. And Dr. Niku had kind of set that, you know, set a foundation for that, where we keep our own shows, Band Jamaican and all these other shows, mm-hmm. Bands Incorporated, where it's just bands. You go to a show the first time.
Yeah.
In Jamaica, you go to a show and it's just all about bands.
Right. I remember
that.
Remember
before? Yeah, that's history.
Yeah.
You know, and then we have Band Jamaican, an annual thing we keep every year. And then we have Plug and Play, where live bands come and play and all these artists come and, you know. Uh-huh. When we started these movements, there were people that formed bands just to play on Bands Incorporated the next time. Seriously. No, I'm telling you, not
so. I believe you. Because you're right. Just to give
for example, correct. Indignation.
Uh-huh.
But Protégé, we had a song with Dr. Niku, and he performed that song, and I think the first Bands Incorporated.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't an artist thing, it was a band thing, and if it wasn't a band, you know, you're not able to. So Protégé say it on the mic, we have it on video, say, next year Bands Incorporated, nah, miss him. And Imam Imanzana informed indignation.
Okay.
That is how indignation started with
Imanzana.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
Indignation started with Janine and Protege.
Okay. I knew as they came together, but I didn't know they were that they came like that.
Yeah, and Janine and Protege are two big fans of Dr. Nick, who was always there supporting her shows and
Mad.
If you listen to their music too and their live performances, Dr. Nick is a great big influence. And all of those youngsters right now coming up.
So
in the reggae industry.
Yeah, the point I wanted to make and to our listeners was that there was a time in Jamaica, say 10 years ago, where it was just single artists. It just you're either a reggae vocalist, female or male, and bands. There's no homegrown reggae bands in Jamaica.
No.
Right. I mean, like. Since Mr. Revealer,
there was some band, but they were doing mostly backing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Even though they have like some singles out on the radio, like you know, C-Sharp used to be there, and some other bands.
But you guys were like the leaders of that movement that brought bands like Earthcry and Pentatook and.
Well, before that there was C-Sharp, there was Roots Underground, there was...
Roots Underground, they were cool.
Live Wire. So
right,
these
Live Wire.
Bands influenced us to do our own thing, actually. These bands that were already out there doing their thing, C-Sharp, Live Wire, Roots Underground, we see them and they influence us to do our thing, actually.
Right.
And then we kind of just step it up a little and We bring a kind of sound to the thing where that like Janine look at me and tell me, so she never know Dub could do like that on the guitar like live, you know?
Right.
That is a big influence on her,
you know? Yeah.
And many more people too.
Yeah. And so let's get back to the dub music. So Dubtonic Crew had their role, their run for a long time. Then they were, you guys did the Battle of the Bands and all that. And you kept on touring, and we saw you here a bunch of times all over the United States and West Coast for quite some time. And now you're doing your own productions, your own singles, and your own live dubbing. So tell us about your live dubbing and what's going on. What is live dubbing? And tell our listeners what's the future of dub and sound system and dubbing, and what's going on right there with you.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's big up King Tubbies, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and then we'll big up scientists, and then we'll big up Lee Scratch Perry, and then, you know, and the list goes on. Matt, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt Professor, yeah.
Yeah.
So, dub. To me, dub is a lifestyle. It's not just echoes and reverb, and, you know.
Right.
It's a lifestyle.
It is a lifestyle. It's a full on movement, and it is that freedom music, that feeling you get when you're in the session and the dub takes over, it's like, you know, nothing else matters. You know, it's like everything is, the problems are gone, and you just want to feel the music. And like really, really feel the music, you know.
Yeah, man, it's kind of spiritual. But to get more physical now, for a physical explanation of dub, is the multi-track production played and added extra reverb and delay, and the engineer becomes the artist.
Okay. Right.
And start muting and unmuting and adding extra delay and reverb and phases and stuff like that to whatever, and then make the song into like a new thing, like a different thing, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's dub in as a definition.
In a physical way.
Yeah, in a physical way. So
yeah.
So like we all know what a dub version is, and we all know what all that stuff is, right? We've been doing that, and we love King Tubbies and all this stuff. Now, what is live dubbing like? I know people may have heard Matt Professor do live dubbing, where he comes to a venue and he only brings his mixing board. He doesn't bring any CDs or vinyls or anything. All the music is done right there on the spot. So, so how did you get into this live dubbing and just tell us about your live dubbing.
All right, so as an engineer and producer, most of the time when I finish mix, I always have a dub mix too.
Okay.
You know, and actually, Gabriel Selassie always love my dub mix. You know, I'm always asked for special dub mix, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so, Gabriel was the one that say, yo, you know, think you should do like live dub on them thing. And I say, yeah, you know, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think I'll be good. Yeah. And I say, I think I'll be good at that. You know, he said, well, anytime you're ready, anytime you have everything ready.
Uh-huh.
You don't know. Don't worry. Yeah. Right. So it was actually Gabriel Selassie that put the idea in my head. Make the light bulb go off.
Okay, so if you guys don't know who Gabriel Selassie is, Gabriel Selassie is the selector at Kingston Dub Club for El Rocker's Rocker Sound System, which is Augustus Pablo's sound system. Gabriel is Augustus Pablo's son, and so that's who we're talking about.
Yeah.
So Gabriel told you should be doing the live dub.
Yeah, Gabriel told me. You think I should be doing that too? You said you think I'll be good at it because the way my dub sound, you think I'll be good at live dubbing. And I said, all right, you know, you're right. I think I'll be good at it too. Mm-hmm. But I never really got into it deep until like mid last year, really.
Okay, so it's a really newer thing for you, yeah.
Well, I've been dubbing all my life, but I've never got into like live dub. Like, oh, I want to do this, and buying the equipment, getting prepared for it,
right?
Like seriously, you know, and bouncing stems for that, creating tracks for that. Like, I get serious about it. Like, yeah, I'm gonna do this, and I want to do it this way, you know?
Yeah, like a new dedication, like a new forward direction that all your energy is gonna go into. That you're going to put a full step into it.
Yeah. Yes. That's right. Because I see where I feel more freedom, and I can see the way clear through that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have to rely on too much, you know.
Other people.
And it's simple, and it's very simple, and I can do it.
Yeah.
I can do it with my eyes closed, you know?
Okay.
I can do it. So.
Okay. So... You started getting into it in the middle of last year. So when was your first live dub show?
Well, you know, my first live dub show actually canceled all of the coronavirus thing, canceled all the shows.
Okay.
I had around 6 shows lined up.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So now the people can see you do live dubbing every Saturday on your Facebook page, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was just a natural decision. You're like, you know what? I can't go touring. So make me do my thing here in my studio and push my message out through the internet and the stream.
Yeah,
you felt so strong about it that you can't keep it down. You couldn't keep it down, and it has to come out.
Yeah, it's like I've been preparing for there was a show, the first show was going to be in Ashland on a Friday, and I was preparing for all of that, and the show got cancelled on the Thursday.
Oh,
and the whole thing I was building, and preparing and all of that.
Right.
So just have everything prepared, and I'm like, well, you know, since I have all these songs and all these things, why not just share it with the world who is interested to listen? Who love dub, you know.
Right.
And I see it's working. A lot of people tuning in and loving it and looking forward to it. And I'm like, all right, you know.
Yeah.
And some people would message me and say, oh, I'm really helping them in this time. And I'm like, you know, wow, I'm playing, I feel like I'm playing my part in this, quarantine, you know. So I just, you know, I used to just go live whenever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then I just decide, you know, if I schedule it so that, yeah, you know, some people that really want to see it can just set that time. And say, so, right,
yeah, make a reminder or whatever, that, yeah, for sure. Delonzo is going, yeah, live dubbing Saturday, yeah, at 5 o'clock. What is it?
Yeah, instead of just going random live, you know, yeah, which I used to do, just sharing. Because
I saw a bunch of those.
When the quarantine just started, it just kind of get, you know, everybody get kind of depressed, and, you know.
Yeah.
So that was my contribution towards, you know, helping.
Okay. Everybody. Very cool. So we look forward for your live dubbing now.
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday, what time?
At 5.
West Coast, East Coast time. What? Where?
Yeah, Pacific time.
Pacific time. Okay. So 5 o'clock Pacific time. For our listeners, 8 o'clock East Coast time for you guys listening on the East Coast, and you guys know how to do all the math in between. Now, Delonzo, you're, in addition to live dubbing, you've been busy doing production work, and you have a dub album coming, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about your dub album and the works of the dub album.
Well, there's a lot of works going on, you know. I'm actually working. I'm gonna drop a single soon. I can't tell you when exactly because everything is not into place yet. But I'm gonna drop a single in the next month or two.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna drop a mixtape, you know, and have a free download link. I'm gonna do a dub of seven dubs.
Okay.
And do a mixtape of that, and it's gonna be a free download.
Okay. See?
And then. Yeah, then after that, I might do a few other singles and EP, album. Yeah.
Right on. So.
But during that, I'm producing for other artists as well. So you're going to see my name and other stuff with other people.
I've seen some of your work with Jason up in California, up in Northern California. Ancient and Law of Attraction or something, yeah?
Yeah, Law of Attraction, Ancient Soul. Yeah, that album is coming out in May, I think, May the 20th. I'm not sure.
Next month.
Yeah.
That's close enough.
Yeah, that album's going to drop. And it's doing well. The singles are out, and they're doing well so far, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you did the production on that record, or you helped produce on that record, or how much?
No, I did the production, all the production.
You did all the productions. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Killer. And then is there a dub album of that, or dub versions on that record?
There are about two or three dubs on there.
Fantastic. So earlier on when we started talking about dub, you said dub is the future. So where do you see dub going in the next couple of years? Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen in the arena, the dub arena of the reggae world?
Well, I mean, there's a wave coming, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You can't see it because it's so far away. But there's a wave of, there's a dub wave coming.
Yeah, there is.
And it's going to, it's going to take over. Dub is the future. That's all I have to say. There's not much I have to say about it, you know. And I'm excited about it, you know.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. I'm very excited about this wave of dub. So. When I was talking to Matt Professor, we were talking about, like, when we started talking about dub, you gave hail to the first wave of dub, which would be Scratch and King Tubby.
King Tubby's first.
Yeah, first, for sure.
King Tubby's first.
Yeah.
And then?
Yeah. And then.
And then Scientists.
Errol Thompson, I guess, was a pretty heavy dub person early on, too.
Yeah, but a lot of them.
And then, so that would be like considered the first wave, that style of dub. And then the second wave of dub producers would be like Matt Professor and Josh Jaka. And now we have this new third wave, which is, there's too many artists to name that are amazing. And you're part of this third wave, and it's great to know you. And I know your vibe and I know your energy, and I can't wait for your contribution to the world of dub, and you know, we love all the works, you know.
Yeah, man. You have dub files leading the way too, you know. Poorly, something like that. But check out dub files.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I'm bad.
Oh, yeah, Pablo Bandini, Dub Files.
Pablo Bandini, yes.
Wicked. He's bad. Italian.
He's one of the women that stood out.
Yeah, no, he's I love his
really
dub productions.
Yeah, I'm kind of leading the dub, this third wave.
Okay, so, you think so?
Well, you know.
Okay.
Just saying.
Yeah, no problem. He's wicked. Paolo Bandini is wicked, and I love the work that he did with Hemper Sativa and all that stuff. Very cool stuff. Well, hey, it's been a pleasure talking to you about dub. You know, we're always going to support you here on Bob Radio and in San Diego and all that stuff. And, you know, we look forward to your all your regular reggae singles, and we're really looking forward to your dub album and your live dubbing performances. And, you know, we just want to wish you the best in, you know, your efforts in the dub freedom music and dub.
Yeah, man, give thanks, man. Always. Anytime this thing cool down, I'm coming back to San Diego to do some shows.
Yeah, I know you are. We've done a lot of work together over the year. We've been played shows together and all kinds of stuff. So it's always nice to have you here. So hey, with that, we know we hope to see you in San Diego, and we'll see you soon. You know, one love.
Yeah, man, one love, brother, one love.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
Cool. All right, we can stop the interview right there.
It just doesn't feel like summer without an ice-cold Coca-Cola in your hand. Stop by your local convenience store today and grab a 20-ounce bottle of Coca-Cola or Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. Or pick up even more delicious refreshment with a 20-ounce bottle of Diet Coke, Sprite, or Fanta. So no matter how you soak in that summer sun, at home or on the go, grab an ice-cold Coca-Cola today and enjoy.